punishing the children for following in the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to a thousand generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. Shall be so, for I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.
I believe that God has made me and all creatures, and he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger, guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly, divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true.
And I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord.
I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy and precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. Just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true.
I believe in the Holy Spirit.
I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead, and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true.
Let us pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven.
With these words, You tenderly invite us to believe that you are our true Father and that we are your true children, so that with all boldness and confidence we may ask you as dear children ask their dear Father.
Hallowed be thy name.
Your name is holy in itself, but we pray that it may be kept holy among us also. Let your word be taught in its truth and purity, and let us, as your children, lead holy lives according to it. Help us to do this, dear Father in heaven. But anyone who teaches or lives contrary to your word profanes your name among us. Protect us from this, Heavenly Father.
Thy kingdom come.
Your kingdom comes by its own power, without our prayer, but let it come to us also. Give us your Holy Spirit, so that by your grace we may believe your holy word and lead godly lives here in time and hereafter in eternity.
Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
You do your good and gracious will even without our prayer. But Father, do your will among us also. Break and hinder every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, which do not want us to hallow your name or let your kingdom come. Strengthen and keep us firm in your word and faith until we die, because this is your good and gracious will.
Give us this day our daily bread.
You certainly give daily bread to everyone, without our prayers, even to all evil people. Lead us to realize this and to receive with thanksgiving our daily bread, including everything that has to do with the support and needs of the body, such as food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, land, animals, money, possessions, believing husbands and wives, believing children, believing workers, believing in faithful superiors, good government, good weather, peace, health, self-control, good reputation, good friends, faithful neighbors, and other things like these.
And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
Father in heaven, we pray that you would not look at our sins or deny our prayer because of them. We are neither worthy of the things for which we pray, nor have we deserved them, but we ask that you would give them all to us by grace, for we daily sin much and surely deserve nothing but punishment. And help us to sincerely forgive and gladly do good to those who sin against us.
And lead us not into temptation.
You tempt no one, but we pray that you would guard and protect us so that the devil, the world, and our own sinful nature will not deceive or mislead us into false belief, despair, or other great shame and vice. Although we are attacked by these things, grant that we may finally overcome them and win the victory.
But deliver us from evil.
Father in heaven, rescue us from every evil of body and soul, possessions and reputation, and finally, when our last hour comes, give us a blessed death and take us from this valley of sorrow to yourself in heaven.
For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
We are certain that what we have asked pleases you, Father, and that you have heard us, because you yourself have commanded us to pray in this way and have promised to hear us.
Amen. 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 Yes, yes, it shall be so.
Combined with God's word.
Christ our Lord says to us,
sins, rescues from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this, as the words and promises of God declare.
Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Mark, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned.
Certainly not just water, but the word of God in and with the water does these things, along with the faith which trusts this word of God in the water. For without God's word, the water is plain water and no baptism, but with the word of God, it is a baptism. That is a life-giving water, rich in grace and in washing of the new birth in the Holy Spirit.
St. Paul says in Titus chapter 3, he saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We've been reciting portions of Luther's Small Catechism along with the words of Scripture that are present. I'd like to read for you as well from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 8th chapter, starting at verse 26. Then they sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. When Jesus had stepped out on land, there met him a man from the city who had demons. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he had not lived in a house, but among the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many a time it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. And they begged him to command them to depart into the abyss. Now a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and drowned. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then the people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it told them how the demon-possessed man had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." And he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. This is our text. On a Sunday like this, our consecration Sunday, when much of the focus is on the work and love that happens within and by our church family, you might be scratching your head over this reading. Why go there? To the Gerasene demoniac. What does a demon-possessed man living among the tombs owned by death have to do with being consecrated and made holy in Jesus Christ for our life together here at our Savior? That man is the most extreme picture of what life looks like without the Lord. We meet him stripped of everything. Human connection and family, gone. House and clothing, gone. Cleanliness and sanity, gone. I don't know for sure what role this man played in his own unraveling, but I suspect he had a hand in it. Maybe something happened to him to cause this. Maybe it was what he did to himself. But probably some combination of the two. If I'd had to guess with this man, I'd guess that there was experimentation of some kind, then compromises and shame, followed by participation in things unfit for human beings, and then finally giving himself over to them, enslaved to them. And their name is Legion. Usually we don't see the contrast so starkly. Most lives, most of our days, I would suggest, are sent somewhere in between the Gerasene demoniac on the one hand and Jesus on the other. They're not given over entirely to what is unholy, and yet not entirely to what is holy either. Some of us, I think, are probably too comfortable with what is unholy-ish, I would say. And some of us are too satisfied with lives that are Christian-ish, but not entirely there. You know, mostly Christian, with some give around the edges, dabbling a little bit in the gray areas, hiding some things and excusing others. I was thinking about what those things might be, and a few things jumped to my mind simply as examples from our own day. Sports betting, marijuana, porn. Those three come immediately to my mind, but there are others. Because the world says it's normal, and the world tells us that it doesn't hurt anyone, and you wouldn't want too much Jesus in your life, would you? Besides, your neighbors might think you're weird, you know, if you went all Jesus in your life. So you know there are at least a few things that need to change. And you love them a little too much. And you can think about what those things are in your own life. But actually, if we're honest, it's not just that things need to change. I would need to change. Apart from the grace of God in Jesus Christ, that won't happen. I mean, not in any meaningful or eternal way. The Gerasene demoniac will go on living his best life now among the dead, and others will go on with lives looking a little more put together and normal, usually clothed and in a house, but sometimes fairly mad with sin and willing to spend parts of our lives separated from others and living in the shadow of death. And then Jesus makes land. He comes to shore. In the country of the Gerasenes, of all places. Jesus is the last guy in the world that the Gerasene demoniac expected to show up in his life and among the tombs. What is the Holy One of God doing among the unholy? What claim does he have over the living dead? Shouldn't he just let the demons take theirs and rescue those who are a little less lost? And the answer is no. No, he shouldn't let the demons take anyone or claim any soul at all. The reason the Son of God appeared, St. John tells us, the reason the Son of God appeared is to destroy the works of the devil. not to make a truce, not to make a compromise, not to say a little bit of unholy-ishness is fine, but to destroy the works of the devil. What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me. Torment. You know, I think that's what my children call it when we put hydrogen peroxide on their wounds. Torment. A deep cut. A kid will tell you it's torture. They'll scream bloody murder, and there's no doubt it stings something fierce. But I'll tell you what, it'll sterilize the wound, and it will kill off the infection, and the flesh will be restored. So the demons might call it torment, but I'll tell you what it really is. It's healing. That's what it is. It's love. That's what it is. A fierce and healing love of Jesus. A love that's not afraid of hell or of demons or darkness or death or sin or the things you've dealt with or those going on in your life right now or whatever has you in its grip. I'm not talking about hydrogen peroxide now. I'm talking about Jesus. He came and he commanded the unclean spirits and he told them to get out quick. And his word had a greater effect than anything the man's community had ever done for him. I mean, consider what the community tried. When that man would come around, they put him under guard. They'd bind him with chains and with shackles. That's all they had to handle this man. But the word of Jesus is powerful and effective. It does exactly what it says. Later, when he sends out the 72, they returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." Indeed, they are. Legion is their name, but Jesus, the Son of the Most High, is his name. And there's only one name above all names. There's only one name at which every knee shall bow, and there's only one name that causes every demon to flee and to make Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And it's his name. So Legion got the message, enters the swine, and descends into a watery grave that leads to a bottomless pit. That's what happens to the demons. You'd think that that in and of itself would be enough to frighten people and put the fear of God in them. But listen to this. The people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. That's what scared them. Not finding out that the demons had left the man, but finding out that this demon-possessed man was in his right mind. You know, they were kind of good with demons. I mean, they didn't love them, but they had a way of handling it. At least they could put the guy under lock and key whenever he came around. But Jesus? What do we do with him? They told him to leave. "We want you out." They didn't know what to do with a guy, this guy, clothed and in his right mind. Can you lock up a guy like that for being too sane and whole? Who knows what will happen next if Jesus sticks around? We know what unholiness looks like. Honestly, unholiness is boring and predictable, and we return to it like a dog to its vomit. But holiness? Holiness like that? Whoa. Watch out. And that's where it gets really interesting. This guy, now cleansed of his demon, put in his right mind, wants to go with Jesus. In fact, it says that he begged that he might be with Jesus. And that kind of makes sense to me. I mean, if Jesus came around, I hope all of us would be begging, "Jesus, we'd like to stick pretty close to you. You know, you made the demons flee. We're going to be like this." Jesus heals you, and then you follow Jesus. Isn't that the formula? Well, almost. He's definitely a Jesus follower now, except that he'll follow Jesus from afar. Here's a guy who isn't asked to leave everything and follow Jesus. He's asked to do something that's arguably even harder. Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. He's asked to stay home and follow Jesus, to be right where he is, in his local community and among his native people. He's consecrated and made holy for works of everyday love right where he is. Not someplace exotic, but in his own home. He's sent back to Gerasa so that his fellow sinners there can hear the good news of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And so that's exactly what he does. He went away proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. I love this story because we're always used to someone following Jesus and going where he goes. And here's a man who's told, you're healed, you're cleansed, go home. Go home and tell them what I've done. Go home and spread that good news of Jesus Christ. You are consecrated and made holy for that. But it's not just Gerasa. It's central Massachusetts. Jesus has made land here, too. He didn't come for the beaches and the mountains. He didn't come for the job or the history or the culture. He came for the sinners. That's why he landed here. And he's making use of the water here, just like he did there in the land of the Gerasenes. We said it earlier about the water, baptism. The water with God's word works the forgiveness of sins, rescues from death and the devil. It tells the demons to get lost, and it gives eternal salvation to all who believe this. In other words, Jesus' word with the water drives off the demons still. Through baptism, you are free, and through baptism, you are claimed as his, and through baptism, you are consecrated and made holy like that demon-possessed man was. And you're given a right mind and a mission to go to your home and right here within the church community to serve and to love in ways that will make known the good news of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. You are baptized for this, to walk in newness of life. You are set free for this, to walk in newness of life and to love as he has loved you. This is the shape of Jesus' own death and resurrection, and this is the shape that has been pressed onto you through your baptism. You are being conformed, transformed, shaped into the shape of Christ's death and resurrection. This is what we are here to be consecrated for again today, to be declared holy and righteous for the sake of Christ, to be set into our right minds, delivered from the oppression of the devil, healed and made new, that we might declare the good works of Jesus Christ, our Savior, to those around us. I firmly believe that we are loved by Christ so much and planted by Christ right here for this purpose, that we might know his love and make his love known. A love that went all the way to the cross. A love that was willing to suffer hell and to meet Satan face to face. A love that was willing to bear the sins, not of one brother or one sister, but of the entire world on his shoulders. A love that was willing to go 6 feet under so that he could come more than 6 feet up. And now you have all of that in Christ Jesus. It says in Galatians chapter 3, in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. This is who we are, and this is what we are to own. If someone asks you who you are, say this, I am a son of God through faith. Not by my own works, but by what he has done. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ, what are we clothed in? What are we wearing? What has he put on us? But his own righteousness and his own holiness, so that we are covered, not by our works or our shame or our sin, but we are covered by what he has done for us. And we are given the right and the inheritance of those who are sons. You are no longer a slave. You are no longer under the power of the devil. Sin is no longer your lord and master, and death will not have the final word, but you are a son and so an heir through God. And he has sent his Spirit into your hearts so that we can cry out with Jesus our brother, Abba, Father. And our Father in heaven hears, and he promises to answer every single prayer. And he promises to be with us as his own dear children, to provide what we need, to serve us with his gifts, to support us through this life until death, and then to take us home. And he will do it for you, as he has done it for so many others. And he will use you as he has used so many others. And he will love you and make his love known through you, as he has done time after time after time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. We continue from the small catechism with confession and the office of the keys. Confession has two parts. First, that we confess our sins. And second, that we receive absolution, that is, forgiveness, from the pastor as from God himself, not doubting, but firmly believing that by it our sins are forgiven before God in heaven. The office of the keys is that special authority which Christ has given to his church on earth, to forgive the sins of repentant sinners, but to withhold forgiveness from the unrepentant as long as they do not repent. This is what St. John the Evangelist writes in chapter 20. The Lord Jesus breathed on his disciples and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." From these words, I believe that when the called ministers of Christ deal with us by his divine command, in particular, when they exclude openly unrepentant sinners from the Christian congregation and absolve those who repent of their sins and want to do better, this is just as valid and certain, even in heaven, as if Christ, our dear Lord, dealt with us himself. You have seen me, O God, and my ways were not hidden from you.
All I have done was plain in your sight.
When I rested in sin and not in your word, when I left it to others to work for the spread of your word, when I judged the way others served you, when I work for you as though it were a burden,
forgive me.
When I held back time, using it not as your gift, but selfishly. When I held back money, spending it not as your gift, but as my possession. When I held back your gospel to myself and neglected the lost ones you love,
forgive me.
When I did not learn your word, when I held back my trust from your word and believed this world instead,
forgive me.
For Jesus' sake, because he has done what I should have done and has paid what I should have paid, And because he is praying for me now, open my mind to your word and fill me with your spirit and your love, so that I can offer myself to you without shame, serve you gladly, and be consecrated to your holy word with everything I am and have.
I ask for grace. I want to do better.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And will you also forgive your sinful pastor all my sins against you? Then answer, in the name of Jesus, I forgive you.
In the name of Jesus, I forgive you.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
As the called pastor of this congregation, you have charge of Christ's flock in this place. You must bear in mind the solemn duties of your sacred office, entrusted to you by our Lord Jesus Christ, so that you fulfill them as a devout and zealous servant of the church. As Christ's ambassador, you are to teach and preach the pure doctrine of God's word. You are to administer the holy sacraments as Christ instituted them. Instruct young and old in the way of salvation. Counsel the choirs, strengthen the weak, seek the lost. Reclaim those who fall into error and comfort the sorrowing, care for the poor. Visit the sick, serve the dying, and pray constantly for the spiritual welfare of every soul under your care. You are to devote yourself to the study of the Holy Scripture and the confessions, so that you carry out your office according to God's word, and so that you and your family may be patterns of others of faith and godliness. The Apostle Paul says, "Preach the word. Always be ready. Correct and rebuke and encourage with deep patience and careful instruction. Keep calm in all situations. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist and set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, and in purity. Watch your life in teaching closely. Persevere in that, because as you do, you will save yourself and those who hear you. I ask you, dear brother, in the presence of God and before this congregation, will you continue to bear the charge of this congregation and perform faithfully all the duties of your office? Then answer, yes, with the help of God.
Yes, with the help of God.
Will you continue to preach and teach God's pure word in accordance with the confessions of the Evangelical Lutheran Church and adorn our Savior's teaching with a reverent and holy life? Then answer, I will, the Lord helping me through the power and grace of his Holy Spirit.
I will, the Lord helping me through the power and grace of his Holy Spirit.
Dearly beloved, you have heard again the solemn promise given by your called pastor, and I admonish you and charge you to remember always what God's word demands of you as members of his flock. Faithfully attend his preaching of the word and accept it, not as human words, but as the word of God, which it actually is. Pay attention when he warns you, and humbly accept the implanted word that can save your soul. Help him to teach the young, since you are commanded to bring up your children in the Lord. Provide for his and his family's earthly needs. Honor him. Love him. As St. Paul says, respect those who work among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you, and hold them in the highest regard and love. Pray for him constantly, that God would give him a cheerful spirit in his labors and anxieties, and that the Lord may bless richly his service among you. Finally, remember the words of the Holy Ghost. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy and not a burden. I ask you now, in the presence of God, will you continue to receive your pastor as a servant of God and give him the love, honor, and proper obedience due to a shepherd and guide placed over to you by the Lord Jesus Christ? If so, then answer, I will.
I will.
Eternal Father of mercy, we praise you for building on this earth your holy church, through which you call sinners to yourself until the end of time. Having sent this worker into this harvest field, have mercy on him and give him the gifts that he needs to fulfill this sacred office faithfully and fruitfully. Do not allow him to cause others to stumble by his own shortcomings. Protect him from gossip and slander and from anything else that would hurt his service. Support him with your Holy Spirit, and when his work is finally done, let him enter your joy. And we pray, too, for this walk and each believer in it. Never leave us. Keep your altar among us and keep alive on it your holy fire. Keep your holy word, holy baptism, holy absolution, and holy communion here in purity and truth, so that by your power we may be made holy for you, and our spirits, souls, and bodies be kept blameless for the coming of Jesus Christ, your Son. As he loved us and called us to be his disciples, so help us to love one another, that through us the world would know him and you. Amen.
Amen.
We can. I address especially those who have been confirmed in our congregation or are members of our congregation. People loved by God, our weakness is great, but the Lord and Savior has all authority in heaven and on earth. Since he has called you, saying, come, follow me, forget what is past, and press forward to what lies ahead. Lift up your hearts and joyfully give answer to what I now ask you in the name of the Lord. Do you believe that God declares you righteous solely and alone because of the obedience and suffering of Jesus Christ in your place, without any merit in you? Then answer, yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
Do you believe that all the books of Holy Scripture are the true and inspired Word of God, and that the teachings of the Evangelical Lutheran Church drawn from Holy Scripture is the true and unchanged teaching of God's Word? Then answer, yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
Will you continue to hear the Word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully? Will you submit every part of your life to be ruled by that Word? Will you remain faithful to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and suffer all things, even death, rather than part from him? Then answer, I will by the grace of God.
I will by the grace of God.
God strengthen you with his grace, so that others may see your good works, your love for one another, and your mercy for all, and glorify him, that through you other beloved sinners may kneel with us to receive grace and life in Jesus Christ, until you go to him, or he comes again for you. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now, O Father, hear us as we pray for all who in love for each other serve here at our Savior, for those who serve in music and the arts, for all who tend your altar, for those who maintain, clean, and care for your house, for those who teach your little children, for those who serve as liturgists, acolytes, hosts, and tellers, for those who serve in the sound room, on the tech team, recording and posting, in the kitchen, in fellowship, and in the office, for all who serve you and those who are sick, aged, or alone, for all who give, pray, and work in your service, give them strength and grace from heaven. Give them joy through your holy gospel. Consecrate and make holy in Jesus Christ all their work in love and trust toward you. Let your beauty, O Lord, our God, be seen on them and on all of us who today offer ourselves, our possessions, and our lives to you. For we are your people, justified by grace alone, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, we also offer before you our common supplications for the well-being of your church throughout the world. So guide and govern your holy church by your Holy Spirit, that all who profess themselves Christians may be led into the way of truth and hold the faith in unity of spirit, in the bond of peace, and in righteousness of life. Send down upon all ministers of the gospel and upon the congregations committed to their care the healthful spirit of your grace, that they may please you in all things. Keep this nation under your care. Give the leaders of our land wisdom, that we may be a people at peace among ourselves and a blessing to the other nations of the world. We ask that you would restore international peace and stability and protect all who may be in harm's way, especially granting your grace to those who serve in the armed forces, including Jamie, who is in Bahrain. We also commend to your care those who are unemployed or underemployed and all who struggle to make ends meet. Protect them from anxiety. Lead them to suitable and fulfilling employment that they might serve their neighbors through their labor and so receive their daily bread from you. We especially ask that you would grant to Rick and Lisa discernment and guidance as to their next steps. Keep in safety all who travel, especially we pray for Tech Catherine and Tech's parents as they go to Korea. We pray that you would make straight their path, bless them while they are there, and give them joy as they return home. Give to Rachel and Rachel good health and the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual strength needed for pregnancy and motherhood. Bless and defend the work of all pregnancy resource centers for the good of abortion-vulnerable women and their children. We also give thanks to you for the safe birth of Isaiah March, born to James and Joelle, and pray that you would be with both mother and child in these first days. We humbly ask your abiding presence in every situation. Make known your ways among us. Satisfy the wants of your creatures. Help those who call upon you in any need. Bless our youth and adults and all who will join together in the Higher Things Conference this week. Increase the faith of our youth, deepen their joy, and form them into the image of Christ, who makes all things new. Continue to watch over Russell, Kelly, and Livia as they settle into their new home. Grant your care and peace to Dave and Janet, as well as to Anne's neighbor Donna, Tamas's sister-in-law, Trish, Helen's mother, Carol, and Ray's friend, Richard. Be with Heather as she recovers from surgery and with her husband, Mike, and their four children. Guard and protect Sue's mother, Jackie, and all who are elderly or in frail health. Grant patience to all who suffer, and according to your will, release them from their afflictions. All this we pray through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Thank you.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." This is the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, under the bread and wine, instituted by Christ himself for us Christians to eat and to drink.
These words, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, show us that in the sacrament, forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation are given us through these words. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. Whoever believes these words, that's exactly what they say, forgiveness of sins.
Our song today is Psalm number 3, starting at the first verse. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people. O Lord, how many of my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, "There is no salvation for him in God." But you, O Lord, are the shield about me, my glory, the lifter of my head. I cried out, O Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord has sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on the people.
Thank you.
Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen. Amen.
We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this healing gift. And we ask you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through this sacrament in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Go in peace. Go forth in love.
Amen.
Make disciples for our Lord Jesus Christ until you go to him or he comes to you. The blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.
Amen. Amen.